Blog Talk Radio.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, so about that cherry bomb.
I have no comment.
Mm-hmm.
I plead the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, and the eighth.
Mm-hmm. You plead all you want. Plead all you want.
Hello, Mom.
Really?
Yes. Tweet, people, tweet. No tweeting.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Tweet are hard. Tweet are hard and tweet are often.
Yeah, enough of that. All right, good morning.
See, she's always telling me, enough of that. You know she likes it. You know she does.
Man, I don't know if there's some goodness going on. Some good news and some interesting news and some, oh, man.
Really? I was going through the news today and I was kind of like, that's boring. That's boring. That was expected. That's boring.
I got good, juicy, delicious stuff.
What do you have?
Well, this comes to me courtesy of our new homie Slice, Quaisha. Hi, Quaisha. From Google Plus, also numerous other places. Quaisha, we gotta have you pop by here one morning. Mm-hmm. You needs to. Really?
Needs to what?
Yeah, we'll talk about this in a minute. This other thing I just saw. Wow, I love that we are being so flattered lately. You know, imitation is the highest form of flattery. We have been flattered to death this week. Thank you. Anyway. Quaisha posted this up on Google Plus this morning, so I'm going to share it with you. A U.S. judge ordered Twitter on Monday to release data about a user arrested at an Occupy Wall Street protest, partially on the grounds that Twitter users who tweet publicly have no reasonable expectation of privacy. If you post a tweet, just like if you scream it out a window, there is no reasonable expectation of privacy. The judge who said this is Judge Matthew Sciarrino. Did I say your name right? In his decision, he said there's no proprietary interest in your tweet, which you have now gifted to the world. He added, this is not the same as a private email, a private direct message, a private chat, or any of the other readily available ways to have a private conversation via the internet that now exists. He said a reasonable expectation of privacy is one test in the U.S. law used to determine if an individual is protected from unreasonable search and seizure under the Fourth Amendment. You know, what they did to Kim.com. Malcolm Harris, the 23-year-old Twitter user in question, was arrested late last year during an Occupy Wall Street protest on the Brooklyn Bridge. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office subpoenaed Twitter for Harris's tweets and other data soon afterwards, sparking a debate over the ownership of the tweets. The case is focused on whether Harris or Twitter itself owns Harris's tweets, whether Harris had a reasonable expectation of privacy when tweeting, and whether Twitter handing over Harris's data represented a physical intrusion into Harris's personal property. The Sciarrino revealed that Twitter users own tweets once posted. If that is held true, the district attorney's request for Harris's data likely wouldn't violate the Fourth Amendment. Twitter stepped in to reject those claims, instead arguing that its users, not the company, owned individual tweets. Twitter also said a previously enacted law made Twitter users responsible for a protesting request for their data, adding that it would be problematic if the company was expected to appeal every request at its own. Additionally, the company argued that the data requested represented an intrusion into Harris's privacy. Sciorino's final decision, in which he acknowledged that judges are asked to make decisions based on statutes that can even keep up, can never keep up with technology. Yes, they can. You all need to take some classes, too. He rejected Twitter's arguments, instead classifying Twitter as a third party and a service provider, which overhears public tweets, which therefore gives public posters no expectation of privacy. He also stated that the data requested made no physical intrusion into Harris's privacy. Thus, wrote Sciorino, that the Fourth Amendment does not Harris data. Sciorino added that asking Twitter to search for and deliver the relevant data was not unreasonably burdensome to the company, and therefore it must comply with the subpoena. However, he made something of a compromise by asking Twitter to deliver the relevant material to the court, which will then decide which information will be sent to the DA's office. Sciorino also ruled that the district attorney would need a warrant to request any of Harris's data less than 180 days old. Yeah, people, this is why we tell you, if you don't want it seen, don't say it.
Exactly. People, we keep saying, once you put it out there on the internet, it's there for always.
Mm-hmm. The only safe place is inside your head for now, anyway.
Yes, so you better say for now. Yeah. Is that technology going where you can put the data in your hand or any other part of your body? No, it's on.
Mm-hmm. Super, sad what's going to happen when that happens. This is ridiculous that we... Remember what I was saying last night? Really, we need a license to be on the internet. Some of you do. And I keep saying people, but some of you younger ones don't understand the meaning of the word privacy, that you need to shut the hell up when you're on Twitter and Facebook. You don't need to post every
picture. What color and texture of your poo?
Yes.
Pictures of you out partying. People, I mean, employers are looking at Facebook.
Yeah.
And your Twitter and everywhere else now.
Well, see, the Facebook one, probably, if this was a Facebook thing that he'd done, he'd probably have a little bit more leeway because, you know, you can block people from seeing you on Facebook, or you can try. Anyway. But on Twitter, really, it's public domain. Even Twitter has said when you post pictures there that it belongs to them, although they're trying to say the tweets don't belong to them. So why do the pictures belong to you but not the tweets, Twitter?
I don't know. Well,
go ahead.
I don't know. Maybe the pictures are so that if something gets put up that is that they find offensive or they find illegal, they can actually take it down without having to.
They could do that anyway. Twitter owns its servers. There'd be no Twitter if Twitter decides that.
So there's something, some reason for that.
The only way you could actually, even if you had something up illegal on your own website, they could still, the government can still step in and take it down. And that's what happens with child pornography rings.
This is true. This is very true.
So
about that.
Twitter, I don't know what Twitter can't decide what the hell they are either. This is a whole new frontier we have going on, not to be referenced in Star Trek, but some weird things going on that the courts need to sit down and understand how the technology mm-hmm. works, and then they need to start amending some of these laws because
yeah.
the people who are not doing anything, Kim.com, other than he's a douche, I agree with them there, didn't really do anything. He did not deserve what happened. His pregnant wife didn't deserve what happened.
Exactly.
Then you have this guy here where you have to figure out if he's, you know, if he's done anything wrong. If he said something via the tweet, he shouldn't have. He did it wrong. It's public domain. Again, as the judge said, it's the same as screaming out your car window. You didn't expect for, you scream out your car window and you expect nobody to hear you?
This is very true. I know somebody Googled me the other day and then showed me and I was like, holy crap. I didn't realize how much of me was out there.
I told you.
Wow. Oh. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, you know, none of it was, like, crazy or anything.
You remember what I told you last night? It better not be crazy. You hear me, woman?
You know there's going to be dancing Saturday. There's going to be after party.
Oh, well, we're staying overnight, so I know I'll be going to one. I got to get another outfit. Word.
Mm-hmm.
And new shoes. Word. No, I'm not wearing my pretty green shoes. That's safe for somebody else. But anyway.
Oh yeah?
Not me, Herman, me.
Mm-hmm. I'm totally mm-hmming you. Yeah, you know it.
Don't mm-hmm me.
Uh-huh. I need story. All right, so Game Australia's remaining stores to close July 8th. Game Australia will officially shut down on July 8th with the remaining 15 stores closing across the country, according to Administrator PricewaterhouseCoopers. Last month, PwC announced Game Australia would be closing the remaining stores but did not offer an exact date at the time. The administrator for Game Australia also announced that the remaining assets of the video game retailer would be liquidated to pay down the company's debts.
Ouch.
15 stores remained open after announcement and offered a 60% off sale on existing stock. The remaining staff at various Game Australia stores and at its headquarters will be let go, they say we assume, shortly after the remaining stores close. The writer goes on to say that we will have more information on the story as it develops, though it is likely that there's not much more to say about Game Australia but beyond the inevitable closures, layoffs, and whatever the financial aftermath is.
Ooh.
Man, this just happened, like, it seems quick.
It is. I thought the other company was...
3-4 months ago, something like that? Now it's just a fun.
I thought that the other company, that one that bought Game in UK, was going to pick it up.
I'm going to lose my voice. I think we'd hoped that, but no. No such luck.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm trying to respond to a Spanish, one of our Spanish Twitter followers.
Oh, okay.
They're asking about Halo 4.
I was wondering whether or not you were moaning or something.
What? Oh, uh-uh. You are so getting cut tomorrow, man.
Oh, you made this, like, moaning noise. Hey, you're always picking on me for moaning, so,
Oh, tomorrow. Hide.
I love you, Miss Corey.
Mm-mm, it is too late for you.
Don't cut me.
Mm-mm, tomorrow I'm going to walk up. Cut. Yeah, you are cute, but you're going down. Mm-hmm.
And she says it. That's such a lovely little adorable voice right there. So if you'll never see me again, it's because Corey shanked me and I'm dead in a gutter.
Shank you? Why would I do that? We're in Texas. There's so many other creators. So you could make you wear heels and walk up and down the hills in Austin. There you go.
Girl, I'm bringing a pair of heels.
You better bring some sneakers.
I'm bringing sneakers. I'm going to have my backpack and I'm going to have my sneakers inside.
I can't find my pack slippers. One of you tricks it. It stole my slippers. They're cute. They look like flats, but they're actually slippers. And they have disappeared. I have not seen this since I got back to Houston. So somebody stole my slippers.
Oh, no.
If I see you with them on, you know how this goes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. New on the forefront this morning, Amazon talks about how amazing they are because they made a new cell phone. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Are you ready to hear this?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm a little bit kind of, it's Amazon. I'm afraid it's going to be crap. It's going to be cheap.
Well, they have not mentioned any talk plans as of yet. Come close. Okay.
No, you want to shank me. I don't know if I want to come close.
Running will not help you. Duh. Okay, so they're working on a smartphone, according to Bloomberg, and, of course, given the success of the Kindle Fire, which has been the only Android tablet so far they're saying is worth buying since its debut, the Nexus 7 is now holding that title, so it's not surprising to think that Amazon would want to get into the smartphone arena as well. Considering it's already one of the best sources for smartphone deals on the web, you would think that Amazon would start reselling wireless data services all on its own. And so they are. Even without its own phone, reselling wireless service would make Amazon the one-stop shop for practically any mobile device. And if it's prepaid, the service would be particularly enticing for tablet users or anyone who doesn't want to sign up yet for another cellular contract. Cellular contracts are going away. They're so last decade. Offering prepaid cellular service wouldn't be a huge stretch for Amazon. The company has offered its WhisperNet service since the very first Kindle, which uses Sprint's EVDO network to offer anytime data connectivity to its e-readers. I did not know this, and now I want one. Amazon has proven itself adept at being a step ahead of the competition with the Kindle and the Kindle Fire, and its ubiquitous cloud computing services. Offering its own wireless service would definitely give it a leg up on practically all other mobile device manufacturers, even Apple, would still have to deal with traditional carriers. Yes, I'm tired of that little Verizon pop-up on iPad. Just want to tell you. Oh, that irritates me. I'm in the middle of killing some aliens, and you popping up asking me, would you like to sign up for your carrier now?
All right, that would irritate me. That would irritate the living bejeebus out of me.
And I'm always like, no, do you not see me killing these aliens or making this dress or serving up this food? Do you not see me? Anyway, according to Bloomberg. You've got to try. I can't even think of the name of the freaking game now. And it's one of my favorite, one of the few games I actually like on the iPad. Order Up, that's it. Got to play Order Up. Fun. That company actually knows how to make an iPad game. They know how to make a game. I love cooking on there. Stirring up my spaghetti. Okay, anyway. According to the Bloomberg report, Amazon is said to be working with Foxconn, which also manufactures the iPhone and iPad on the phone. And just like the Kindle Fire, you would expect Amazon to power the phone with a tweaked version of Droid. The company has also been buying up wireless patents to protect itself from the wave of patent litigation sweeping the mobile market. You know, like what's going on between Samsung and Apple. So in the near future, we could be seeing ourselves a new Kindle Fire cell phone, which would be all kinds of hotness. I think I'd like to have that. Ginger May, did I lose you?
No. Oh, no. No. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you laughing at Jay.
Okay. I was like, oh, crap. What happened?
Well, she's so adorable when she's still killing. Yes, she is. Yes, she is. I am not.
You know, Jay, you're all tweeting her, and then you're leaving me out.
You called him the wrong name yesterday. I would leave you out, too.
Mm-hmm. Jay, I'm sorry, Jay. I'm so sorry.
You know what? I think I'm going to attempt to be quiet the rest of the day because I'll be talking all day tomorrow, and I blame Ginger.
Yeah, I'm going to lose my voice tomorrow. I already know it. I don't talk that much as is, so.
God. Ginger?
What?
Please tell me y'all will stay overnight. We got to take you to Moonshine Sunday morning.
We will be staying overnight. I know we're going to leave sometime early Sunday because we got to be back.
Ginger, you all have to go to Moonshine with us Sunday morning.
I will keep that in consideration.
No, no, no. You didn't understand. You hear? I said you have to go with Moonshine Sunday morning.
Okay, okay.
You will never experience this, you know, just at random. It's very rare something happens in Austin. Well, it'll be happening more from what I hear. But you have to come to Moonshine.
I might come to Moonshine. I don't know. We'll see.
What do you mean you don't know?
You
are getting the finger. And tomorrow when I show you what the finger is.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'll be showing you what the finger is. See this one right here? Not gonna help you. You're going to Moonshine. It's breakfast, Ginger. You can go for breakfast.
I don't really do breakfast.
Ginger, you will do this breakfast, I promise you.
Okay.
Imagine every breakfast food you can possibly think of at your fingertips, even stuff you may have wanted to try and you just didn't get to.
Well, then I guess I'll have to check it out because, yeah.
Grits. Looked like that was going to be the swing factor. Grits.
Gross, but they make great weapons.
They do make great weapons.
Okay, so, zombies. Zombies. Actually, Zomboid. The Indie Stone details the break-in that almost killed Project Zomboid. At the very first session of this year's Res event in Brighton, indie developer The Indie Stone picked the scabs off an old wound, last year's burglary that resulted in the loss of 2 months of development progress on its upcoming zombie apocalypse game, Project Zomboid. I remember this. Describing the 2011 break-in at its offices as the incident, the Indie Stone writer Will Porter said that the whole ordeal was demoralizing to the development team and that many of the studio staffers became depressed. I'm going to lose my voice. All right, so we refer to it as the incident, explains writer Will Porter. It led to a lot of depression for the team. It's something that we can beg sympathy for, if not forgiveness. The team returned late one night after getting a bit drunk and moving to a new flat in the middle of Newcastle. Another tenant in the building had seen the guys moving in and kicked through the fire door to steal credit cards and laptops. When the company detailed the burglary online, someone on the internet thought the Indie Stone were trying to perpetrate some sort of scam. Oh, who wrote this? All right, anyways, on Reddit, we were fraudsters and criminals. Then we were bit back. Oh, sorry, then we bit back, but the internet can bite back harder. Yes, yes, don't troll the internet. Internet will always win. Porter went on to detail some unfortunate tweets made by Chris Lemmy Simpson, one of the company's key developers, suggesting that the company was finished, which began a stretch where it felt like the company had lost the goodwill of the community. At the end of the day, Porter says that some good may have come out of the incident, despite the setbacks for the development team. The silver lining is we might have stopped this happening to other people in the future. It was such a public downfall. There were a few high-profile indie developers tweeting, I think we're going to make an awesome backup. Yes, people, seriously. That you didn't have a backup was just outrageous to us. I remember us thinking it then. Why wasn't there a backup of some sort? I mean, this is your life. This is your, you know, your income. What the hell were you thinking?
Cookies?
I am hungry, so if we start talking about cookies, thinking about cookies.
You are not alone. I am Hungry, too.
It's lunchtime. I don't do breakfast, but I do do lunch. I do do lunch. Man, where's Blaster when I do these things?
I had breakfast.
Really?
Hey!
You said it!
I was saying I had breakfast. I had some Cocoa Pebbles.
Okay.
They were good.
Were they? Were they crunchy?
Tomorrow I'm going to be cinch casting every time I punch her. I'm just holding on to my puncher, and then y'all will hear it. You're going to hear, ah! Yeah. That'll be the end of the cinch.
And I will too. I'll be screaming just like that. It's going to be great.
All right. AT&T is stepping up to the plate, putting on their cape, going after the criminals. Ah, yes. AT&T is realizing that more and more people are getting their phones stolen. And as of July 10th, they will be releasing a new service to block phone thieves from using stolen devices. This is according to a report from The Verge. Using the service, AT&T subscribers will be able to deny voice, data, and texting service to any device they report is stolen. This feature extends to both prepaid and postpaid subscribers, so no one is left out. Currently, if a phone thief snatches a phone, he can simply swap out the phone's SIM card to avoid blocking measures. With the new plan, the blocking mechanism will be attached to a phone's unique ID number, which makes evasion much more difficult. Blocking service is an extension of an April announcement that AT&T and other carriers plan to create a stolen phone database. AT&T confirmed this in an email to VentureBeat this morning. They said we will install this availability next week for AT&T phones on our network and are working toward a cross-carrier solution later in the year. The cross-carrier plans are interesting as they hopefully point to the phone blocking service as less of a value add and more of an industry standard, and that can only be good for consumers. One thing the new service will do well is make it a lot harder for phone thieves to resell stolen devices. After all, not many people are going to be interested in buying an iPhone that can't make phone calls. Expect similar programs from Verizon, T-Mobile, Sprint, and a variety of regional carriers within the next few months. I'm proud of AT&T for stepping up, but have you heard of a little program called Ice Cream? Oh, look out, mobile and tons of other apps that do this very same thing. And yeah, I'm serious. You don't have one of these on your phone, Ginger?
I'm not for certain.
Yeah, you should probably get one. I have Lookout Mobile, and it does this. It wipes the phone and makes it unusable. Mm-hmm. It also turns on the alarm, which can only be turned off by a code that I enter, which means as soon as they turn it on, woo, 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 it just keeps doing that over and over and over. And not only that, but it will help me locate where the phone is in the first place. So AT&T, good job. Okay job, but you need to make it just a little bit harder. I like the stolen phone database thing, yes. But this particular technology is not it's not up to snuff with some of the apps that they have out there that do this and also give you the chance of going over and catching them with your phone and beating the hell out of somebody. Which is fun. I don't know about you, but I just dying to catch a thief trying to take something from me. Just catch them in the process.
Girl, do you remember a couple of years back where the guys were going, people were going around in stores and parking lots, hey, I'm selling perfume, would you smell this, da-da-da-da-da, and it knocks the girl out?
Really?
I had that guy, or one of those people, push me in a Walmart parking lot. I was not thinking about chasing after him. No. I was just thinking about going the other direction. But yeah.
Well, see, that's different. And I used to sell those perfumes, too, when I was a teenager in the parking lot. So I was like, Yeah. But that's different. We're talking about you walk up and somebody's in your purse or trying to steal your phone. Yeah, I'm looking for that person.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay, I can see that.
Somebody broke into my car. My car was parked right outside my window. Now, they only got like $20, and I like rocks, so I had a rose quartz in there. It was a $20 rose quartz. But I was wishing I had come outside when they were doing it so I could bash them over the head.
Don't blame you.
So this phone business, you can take my phone if you want. I will know exactly where you are within about 3 minutes after you walk away.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And I can do it from your phone too, Ginger. That's the cool thing about it. Like if I lose my phone, I can say, Ginger, let me see your phone. And I can log into my little account and find out where my phone is as soon as I realize it's missing.
That is cool. That is so awesome.
Mm-hmm. So AT&T, just come a little harder. You didn't quite step all the way up to the plate. We appreciate it though.
It was a good swing. You missed.
Why am I getting emails from Kim Kardashian? Why are you sending? Really?
Really? Is it more porn?
It's shoe porn. That's a nice shoe, Kim, but I don't want it.
All right, speaking of bashing people over the head, Rambo the video game touches down at Gamescom. You don't seem to want to accept the fact that you're dealing with an expert in guerrilla warfare, with a man who's the best, with guns, with knives, with his bare hands. Oh, I love a man who's good at his hands. It was a man who's been trained to ignore pain, ignore weather, to live off the land, to eat things that would make a billy goat puke. In Vietnam, his job was to dispose of enemy personnel, to kill, period, win by attrition. Well, Rambo was the best. This is coming from Colonel Samuel Sam Truman, First Blood. All right, so, Reef Entertainment Today announces that Rambo, the video game, will be playable on the show floor at this year's Gamescom. Reef Entertainment says, Reef Entertainment commercial director Craig Lewis says, "We have been quiet since we acquired the Rambo license last August. During this time, we have been dedicated to creating a video game for consoles and PC that will allow Rambo fans and gamers across the globe to really get under the skin of Rambo and wield his iconic weapon set in battle."
Why?
Yeah, why? I have no idea. But it's Rambo, which, you know, maybe my oldest younger brother will remember that he loved.
I loved it too, but I don't want to be him.
I was never a fan of Rambo.
I liked the first one. I liked the whole, you know, they wouldn't leave him alone and he went into the jungle. But are they really going to capture the story? Are they going to be able to capture the mood?
I'm going to go with no.
It's Love Revolted?
You know, that was almost what I was thinking. Actually, I was thinking, Stallone going to get a cut of this at all.
Well.
And does he still have the voice anymore?
Yeah, he still has the voice. His face is right. Going to crap, but.
Yeah, I was going to say just his face, but all right.
I'm going to need you not to be doing that.
You, too many years of steroids, people.
No, it wasn't steroids. I think it was the facial reconstructive surgery. I think he's had some things done.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
I wonder what was wrong with his face.
The eyebrows are arched. That just reeks of Botox.
Not cute, people. Not cute.
Mm-mm. Age gracefully. Or learn how to stay inside and do it the old-fashioned way. Ice. Something. Mm. And the mudslinging continues.
Uh-oh.
Why?
Because it's fun. That's why.
He has something to say about the Wii U. You know, 360, that company who has abandoned its gamers, has something to say about Wii U. After a less than impressive E3 showing for Nintendo, the industry is waiting for the company to announce the final pieces of the puzzle, a launch date, and the price. And we know those are not the final pieces because, you know, Nintendo don't ever show you anything. Nintendo typically doesn't announce exact hardware specs, but with more games on display for the Wii U, it's now becoming easier to size up its graphical horsepower, which beforehand some had said was better than PS3. Microsoft, however, told GI.biz International that it views Wii U as basically on par with the Xbox 360, and that would be a mistake. That's your first mistake, Xbox. Phil Spencer, corporate vice president of Microsoft Studios, commented in an interview that he thinks their Pro controller makes a lot of sense with the platform they've built. They're building a platform that is effectively a 360 when you think of graphical capability. Spencer believes that the Wii U will quickly become a machine for third-party number 360 games too, considering the 360 like Pro controller. Really? What have you ever seen? Have you seen an Xbox controller with a screen on it, a touchscreen?
I have not, and I don't think I want to.
And a camera?
No.
Yeah. Anyway, he says now they're really making an on-ramp for the back catalog of games that are on 360. It's easy for those games to move over to the Wii U. They've moved the buttons around, and they've made a controller that feels familiar for 360 gamers, so I get why they're putting those pieces together. Spencer was even complimentary of the Wii U, saying how he liked Ubisoft's Zombie U and the use of a second screen in general. You know, you were being condescending, and you think it's on par with the 360. And again, that was your first mistake. Remember when the Wii came out, they kept making the jokes about, oh, it's got a bar. Oh, and who's going to want to play this? And then when they try to kick in their ass, oh, we got to make a Kinect, quick. Really? Just be quiet. Wait and see what they do. Wait until after it comes. That's when you use the comments. That's when it's funny. Right now, we don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
It may come out, and it may be better than the PS3. And it may still have, they may throw that sensor bar business in there. And they got the controller. And they may throw a second controller in. Who knows what the people at Nintendo are going to do? Those crazy Nintendo people. I just know this much. When I drop it, it won't break.
This is true. This is true. Nintendo does not break ever. I mean,
it won't red ring.
No, I've dropped my Wii a couple of times already. I've knocked it over. The controllers get abused like crazy, and they're still going.
Not a scratch on them.
No, not at all. Not at all. My Xbox, that's a whole other story.
You can't even move your Xbox funny, and it starts acting up.
I know. Yeah.
Entertainment system.
Microsoft, me and you, going to go round and round. I'm not even kidding.
Oh, tomorrow, let them have it.
Of course, ooh, make sure I have thought about that.
Make sure after play a little bit, okay? After.
Okay. Okay.
After. I want to stress.
Do we have a set time for that?
You and I will be chatting throughout the day.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so Don't Feed the Trolls Bears update adds levels, gameplay, and achievements. Frozax Games is proud to announce the release of Bears Update of Don't Feed the Trolls. The first major content update, 1.2, adds 9 levels, 3 bears, and 5 achievements to the fast-paced reflex game. The update introduces new gameplay with the sleeping bear, the twin bears, and the invisible bear. Additional stars to collect will allow players to take the opportunity to climb up the leaderboards. The game was recently awarded Best Android Games of the Week by Jukes Video. Since May 2012, Don't Feed the Trolls players slapped together more than 500,000 trolls and fed 3 million bears. Players are addicted to the exciting slapping action and variety of the 14 characters. Don't Feed the Trolls is available at free download on the App Store and Google Play. Alright, so head over there and check it out. It is Don't Feed the Trolls. And I have this up on GameNatrix.com this morning. Go over there, check it out, look at it, get your links.
No, and you cannot make me.
Yes, I can.
Mm-mm.
Okay, no, I can't. I won't
sacrifice. Ginger got too much sugar this morning. I need you to be sugarless.
No, I need sugar to make me all sweet.
Ginger got too much sugar this morning. I'm going to need her to get rid of sugar. I need you sugarless.
Well, can I do another one then?
Of course you can, dear.
Punchbox Studios Fishing Joy 2 coming soon to iTunes App Store July 12th. Oh, yes, Corey, you ready for it? Another fishing game.
Stop it! No!
Oh, you love yourself some fishing. All right. Punchbox Studios, creator of addictively fun mobile games, today announced their new title, Fishing Joy 2 International Edition, will launch in the App Store on July 12th. Fishing Joy 2 is an underwater casual game and is the sequel of to Fishing Joy, which has over 85 million users around the world. In Fishing Joy 2, players catch 15 different types of sea creatures using tools and weapons ranging in power, but the outcome will always be unexpected. The larger the fish, the more valuable they are. Catching a clownfish will grant players 8 coins, but snagging a hammerhead shark will give players 100 coins. Players must test their luck and use coins to try to catch as many fish as possible. In Fishing Joy 2, players have the option to exchange gold coins to boost firepower and increase the likelihood of catching the biggest fish. The newest feature in Fishing Joy 2 is the multiplier. Multiply the weight of each shot up to 50 times to gain more coins with every shot. But remember, the more coins players risk, the more they can lose too. If players collect enough coins to level up, they will unlock brand new underwater scenes like the Blue Coast. In this relaxing underwater world, players can pass the time watching beautiful fish swim by or step up the excitement by racking up coins to win bigger prizes. All right, so this is going to have an iPhone and iPod version as well as an iPad HD version. So both apps are going to be sold for 99 cents. Head over there, check it out. And wow, people logging into Skype, that little pop-up window, that always catches my attention and distracts me from what I'm reading. That's got to find a way to turn that off.
Never scroll. Okay, so...
Somebody logged in and the name popped up in the middle of my article. I was like, whoa.
All right, we have our friends over at Beside that sent us a little Twitter yesterday. They have a new beta version of the game released. You can play it. It's a browser-based game. You can play it free with your Facebook account. You're also looking at beta on the iPhone. So if you have an iPhone, pop on by. It's beside.altshift.fr. Should get you there. Again, real easy to sign up. You can follow them on Twitter, which I think we are because we love them so much. Oh, well. We are now. and go ahead and play. It is an MMO. So if you're not an MMO person, go ahead and back it up. I see a new game on Facebook. Ginger, stop it. Ginger, I said...
Me? No.
Stop it.
No. What are we doing? No. No, 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 no. New game on Facebook. I don't need a new game on Facebook.
Stop it, Ginger. Anyway, you can play Beside, again, right in Facebook. You just go over to their site and click on it. It'll bring you back to Facebook. Yeah, and then you can play.
No.
Yes.
No.
These are our friends at Alt Shift.
They're not friends. They get us addicted to games.
Yes,
share and share alike. No.
Yes, Ginger.
All right.
Oh,
so,
look at that. Oh.
Is it hot? Is it awesome?
Okay, it's kind of cool. It's really kind of cool.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it a link?
It's really kind of cool.
That I need to open it during the show because for some odd reason Facebook keeps, like, when I open up the games, it locks up my whole computer recently. It's just a stupid Adobe Flash update.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know what's going on with the Adobe Flash. We'll find out something about that and hopefully get back to you. But anyway, go over and check out the people's at Beside. Tell them we sent you. Yeah, I'm going to be playing this partially through the day until I have to go out. I got to go get my nails and my heart yet.
Yeah. I need to get my nails done.
And my eyebrows to get. Mm-hmm.
Nice. All right, so Panzer Corps.
Wait a minute.
Not done? I thought you were done.
I didn't even get to do my story.
All right, well, you do your story. You got quiet there for a minute.
I was trying to clear my throat.
Oh, okay. My bad. I thought you were, like, waiting for me to jump in, so I thought I was going to jump in.
This is so mean to me. Why?
No. See, I'm not mean. I took initiative.
This is so mean to me. Why?
Pounded my own hand. That hurt a little bit.
Really? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. It's not my gamer hand, so I'm good. Not my mouse hand.
You almost made me choke then. Shut up, I heard the thought in your head. Anyway.
Not the hand either.
Shut up. I heard that. All right, so.
First.
I did not say anything. There's something new for you doctors. You know what, doctors? There's a new thing called Facebook for Doctors Network. It's called Doximity, and it tackles America's fifth leading cause of death. The fifth leading cause of death in America is not cars, cancer, or camping in the woods with bucks and beauties while listening to creepy music. It's doctors. More specifically, medical mistakes and errors resulting from miscommunication. That's exactly what professional networking tool for doctors, Doximity, was founded to fix. It's a new social network with a low profile everywhere but the medical community. Doximity has now signed up 11% of all U.S. doctors. The network focuses on helping doctors communicate and work together in a secure environment to coordinate patient care and faster. Doximity is the largest and only real name identified and verified private physician communications platform. Community rep Hannah Ita told our boys over Adventure Meet, unlike traditional social media, Doximity enables doctors to securely discuss patient care in private, quote, HIPAA secure environment. Those of you who are in the medical field know what HIPAA is. And that's important because the medical community is significantly siloed, making it difficult for specialists, doctors, and other healthcare professionals to coordinate client care. Digital technologies haven't made enormous strides yet in medicine. As of 2009, only 9% of hospitals had electronic record systems in place, and tools for secure, simple doctor-to-doctor communication aren't yet ubiquitous. Doximity is looking to change that. Other companies such as Thermo, Quaintia MD and DocBook MD are doing similar things, but Doximity views its primary competitor as old technology and old practice. Our real competitors are the pager and the fax machine and any other antiquated form of communication still used in medicine today. Perhaps not surprisingly, given these tools, miscommunication between care providers is the root cause of 65% of serious medical errors, according to the Joint Commission on Accreditation of Healthcare Organizations. Medicine is a team sport. Executive Jeff Tagney said in a statement, communication is just so vital. Doximity allows doctors to connect online as well as on the go with mobile apps for iPhone, iPad, and Android smartphones. The company is currently backed by $10.8 million in venture capital from Emergence Capital Partners and InterWest Partners. Its chief executive, Jeff Tagney, previously founded Epocrates, like or Epocrates, or you can go say it that way, like Socrates. It's a mobile medical data company. Doximity, of course, is based in San Mateo, California, the only other place in California we can stand to go because you can breathe there. And apparently all the good doctors are there. I like this idea. And I think, again, I am going to push for this license on the internet thing, because if you had a license, we'd have more doctors that would have licenses. Therefore, we'd have more more.
What am I missing? All right, I got to go with Twitter. She's giggling.
It's not Twitter, but it's from Alt Shift Games. I asked them if they were going to RTX, and they said, that's kind of far from France. No, wish we could. Well, we're inviting you. It would only take you, by the time you got here, it would be starting. 12-hour trip. Come on over, Alt Shift.
Come on over. Bring your accent, please.
Oh, oui, oui. Oui, oui, monsieur.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did you say something? I had a moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Have you seen Halle Berry's new man? Because he's French.
I have not.
Oh, Oliver. Baby.
Huh?
Yes. Have you seen the movie Unfaithful? Yeah, he's in it. Him and Diane Lane. I love that man.
Oh, all right. There's some good news for you Australia game people.
Mm-hmm.
THQ Australia to honor Game Australia Darksiders 2 pre-order bonus. THQ Australia confirmed that it will honor all Darksiders 2 pre-order DLC bonuses purchased through Game Australia. The retailer announced this morning that it would close its 15 remaining stores on July 8th. Game Australia had offered Australian customers who pre-ordered THQ's upcoming game, The Deadly Despair DLC pack, but then it went into liquidation. Obviously, if the retailer is no longer in business, it won't be able to fulfill those promised pre-order bonuses. Luckily, THQ Australia will be honoring the DLC bonus to customers who email the receipt of their original pre-order purchase from Game, along with new pre-order receipts from any retailer to inquiries.au@thq.com. Once received, THQ will send Deadly Despair codes out to qualified customers sometime shortly after the launch of Darksiders 2.
I like his Deadly Despair codes. Wow.
But at least it's good they're going to get it. You know, they're not out of that money.
I think I would have rather had my money. Yeah. All right. Got another message from the people at Verizon, because they love sending us over press releases. And,
well, are they going to send us some phones and some plans?
No, this gave us a paragraph-long thing. So apparently they have released a new home-based or in-home high-speed internet service called Home Fusion Broadband, and it's supposed to provide high-speed in-home internet across leveraging the power and the speed of the nation's largest 4G LTE network. And that's all that they sent us. Thank you, Verizon. And good luck with your Home Fusion Broadband. That's all we know. What else to tell you? Why did they send these over?
No idea, but they only put in, two paragraphs, maybe? That's it, and they're made up of, two sentences?
That is literally two sentences right there.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do nothing with that.
No, and you get these, and you're like, oh, great, this one's going to be good, and you open it, you start reading, and you're like, wait a minute, this is useless.
Verizon, I can't do much with this, I'll tell them about it. Thanks.
I get the one I'm all excited because the title sounds really cool, and I'm all hyped up about it, and I start talking, and it's like, wait a minute, this is not cool. Why am I reading this? But then you're like already committed to it, so.
Oh, got something from Paradox. Did we talk about War of the Roses?
No, we haven't.
Mm. Well, right now, if you are interested in playing War of the Roses, they are accepting beta apps application. That's not a beta app for you to submit, but you can go over and sign up. It's Paradox and Fat Shark, I love that name, have announced after completing a successful closed alpha stage, sign-ups for a chance. They're now looking for you to sign up for a chance to participate in beta testing for upcoming medieval multiplayer combat title, War of the Roses. It is now open to the public. Starting today, you can enroll to be a knight and in the King's Army and help restore order to England by visiting waroftherosesgame.com. When signing up to guarantee your access to enter beta, future knights will obtain a unique referral URL from the King that can be shared across your social media channels. When 5 friends use this player-specific link to sign up for beta, the player who is linked to that URL will be granted a secure spot in beta. Oh, that is smart. But do we want to play this is a question, Paradox. This is one of your good games or the ones we don't want?
It's so hard. It's so hard to tell, though.
They really, Paradox either knocks it out of the park or it's a foul ball each and every time. You don't have a choice there. Seriously. Don't be tweeting me.
Tweeter hard. All right, so Panzer Corps, I started reading this earlier, and then Corey's like, no, I'm not done. So I'm going to start again. I love you, Corey. Mwah! Panzer Corps, Africa Corps, release date nears. Expect to hit the desert with Africa Corps this month. Slytherin and Matrix Games, along with the Lords Games Studio, are excited to announce the upcoming release of Panzer Corps, Africa Corps, the next title in the War Game of the Year series, Panzer Corps. This release date has been set for, are you ready for it? July 31st.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Panzer Corps, Africa Corps will be available as an expansion to existing owners of Panzer Corps and as a standalone game to new players. The war now moves to the hot and unforgiving deserts of North Africa, where the vaunted Africa Corps begins their 1941 offensive into Libya and Tunisia? Anyways, to push to the Suez Canal and secure the oil-rich fields of the Arabian Peninsula. All right, people. So with the British Army and her allies standing in the way, players will have to fight hard to ensure victory. If all goes well, it may even be possible to advance on Britain's crown jewel in the Africa Corps comes packed with 24 new scenarios that take place in North Africa, the Middle East, and India, as well as several new engaging multiplayer scenarios through Slytherin's PBM++ network. Players can look forward to more than 20 new units, ranging from gliders and flamethrower tanks to motorcycle infantry and minefields. All right, I have to say, Panzer, wait back up. You're in the desert, there's some grass, and you've got flamethrower tanks. Are you crazy? Anyways, all right, back to the story. Some of the existing units have been reskinned for desert camouflage. The Germans won't be standing alone in their fight, as Italian units can now join the player's core force to carry through the campaign to earn experience and equipment upgrades. The modders community will also have new units and tile sets available for use in their scenario creating escapades. The changes to the modding tools are not only confined to new units and tile A wide array of new options have also been included, more advanced scripting, a number of new AI orders, heroes configuration, unit placement randomization, and much more. So awesome. Looks like you people are getting a lot of new cool fun things.
Yay!
I know, right? Friday, we're both so tired. We're trying to be hyper and hyped up, and we really are working on it, but we are so exhausted.
I am exhausted, and there's a lot to go into planning when you go to these things. So I actually have a list sitting here. So as Ginger's talking, I keep going over this list going, did I do that already?
And I am so nervous. I am going to, like, end up tripping and falling on my face.
You're going to be fine.
Or something. Oh, no, I'm not. Girl, you have no idea. I am the clumsiest person in the world.
Well, if you fall down, we'll fall down. You still look like we did on purpose. And when we hit the floor, we will pose. Yeah, when we hit the floor, we'll pose. It was on purpose. There
and
you go.
And this is why I love my Corey.
It's okay.
I'm so, so nervous. I mean, I get to meet Freddie Wong, and that is so cool. But at the same time, it's like, oh, my God, I get to meet Freddie Wong. What am I going to do?
You're going to smile and be professional, dadgummit.
I hope so. I'm going to be stuttering, and, you know,
no,
nothing
you're
new
not.
Anyways, stutter anyways. But
no, you're not.
It's, oh, my God, it's going to be crazy.
You're going to be fine.
And then Halo 4.
I just need you to make sure your phone is ready. Don't be like, girl, my switch is not working, then I'm going to cut you.
No way. My phone, I'm going in there. Are they going to have places where we can charge our stuff? Cause...
Yes, we'll be talking.
Yes, because I love my phone, but, man, the battery life is crap.
We're going to be all right. We're going to wake it up.
Okay.
All right. Yesterday, hopefully, I don't think we mentioned this game. I don't like these kinds of games, but, you know, it is a it's an RPG, so that makes it good. Called Divine Divinity. Did we tell you about that yesterday? From our peoples over in Belgium, La Belgique, if you are France, if you are French. Divine Divinity hit store shelves actually 10 years ago, and, of course, it's become a landmark title in the computer role-playing games or RPGs And earlier this year, it was named one of the best 100 games ever made for PC. And, of course, it's back. It's on Steam. Divine Divinity chronicles the never-ending battle between valiant heroes and the destructive powers of chaos harnessed by the Black Ring, a cult of enduring evil.
Enduring evil.
You play the role of the prophesied chosen one, who under the guidance of the wizard Zandalore. See, that's how you do a name. It flows nicely. It's crazy, but it flows nicely. They don't try to put these weird consonants and stuff together. They don't go together. But you must unite the seven races of rebellion so that you may become the divine one and stop the birth of the Lord Chaos. The last decade, Larian has made a name for itself in the development of rich fantasy worlds that challenge and thrill us gamers, or so they think. At the moment, they're working on two games, Divinity Dragon Commander and Divinity Original Sin, which is an RPG that takes you back to Rebellion, where it all started. As you follow the great treasures they have coming soon, why not take a look back at Divine Divinity? You can download it on Steam right now for a mere pittance of a price. Let me see. Did they put a price here for me? They didn't give me a price. It is rated T for Teen. Don't let the little people play it if they're not a teenager. Duh. I got no price, Steam. Oh, I'm sorry.
Speaking of, remind me to ask you about teens and SL later.
$5.99. Yes, we'll talk about that. But yeah, $5.99, $5.99. You can play this old school RPG. You know what I want them to re-release? I want Baldur's Gate. I want a new Baldur's Gate, and I want them to give it to the people who made Skyrim. I think Bethesda needs to do that. I need a Baldur's Gate, and I need it in a Skyrim format. That would be so hot. If you never played,
I never played. My sister played Baldur's Gate.
Girl, Baldur's Gate is so effing hot. Even now, it would still hold up. The storylines, the fact that that was one of the first freeform games that you got where, you know, your ending was never the same. Anything you did was never the same. If you died and you played the same part again, it was never the same. You might live through it, you might die.
See, that is cool.
And I love that the NPCs, like you have your little team. I always put this thief on my team, and I always knew she was going to leave, but you never knew when in the game. But I started picking up on the fact that if you listen to her speak, you know when she was going to leave because she'd start complaining about what was going on. If you didn't steal enough stuff, you weren't evil enough for her.
That doesn't sound familiar.
Yes, but I hear her in my head going, I've about done had enough of this. When she said that, it was like, she is leaving. And when she left, she made it hurt. She was taking half your stuff. She might kill you.
Wow.
That's good gaming right there.
That is awesome.
That one needs to be redone. Forget all this other crap y'all like to pick up.
All right. Speaking of crap, industry will die if it doesn't innovate, says David Cage.
I saw that. Do it.
Mm-hmm. Quantic Dream founder David Cage thinks that the video game industry needs to learn to innovate, or it will inevitably die a slow and painful death. In an interview with Games Industry International, the Heavy Rain creator said that creating innovative and new kinds of experiences for consumers is paramount to the survival of the industry. This industry will die if it doesn't try more to be innovative and to come up with new ideas and to talk a bit more, not necessarily serious, but deeper things at some point, says Cage. It's great that you can shoot at monsters, and that's great, and it will always be there, and it will always be successful. But at the same time, what about giving the choice to people? Give them different options. So if they like that, they find it. But if they want something deeper and interactive, they can find that too. All right. He pointed to that game company's journey as an example of innovation and noted that the industry can't sustain itself on first-person shooters forever. Thank you! Oh, my God, thank you. I think I've been saying that for a couple of months now. Enough! Enough with the military shooters. Okay,
yes.
We've saved the president, I don't know how many times. We've blown up buildings, I don't know how many times.
It's not even freeform. You're still forced to go where they want you to go.
Exactly. And now with the whole, I see you behind the boxes. No, you fooled. You're supposed to be here.
Oh, that
I makes behind a building, behind a box, whatever. You don't see me. You don't know where I went. No, you see me.
I'm bored with the military shooters. I told you I want a sword game, especially. I want it on if Kinect. If you're going to do it, I need a sword fighting game where I am just on the battlefield and I'm swinging and just cutting people down. I want to mow them. That's hot right there.
That would be awesome.
See? Everybody likes when I say it. It'd be fun. Ginger, I want you to tell you that your QR code tat.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Bill Cosby has a similar one up on his Facebook, and it's his face behind it.
Oh, my God.
Ah, I like that, man. He keeps up with the time. Okay.
I like it. I mean, of course, you know, it's just a little stick-on one at the moment, but...
You're going to have it tomorrow, yeah?
Yes.
Who's going to be drawing the pack? The Miss Pac-Man on my face? That's what I want to know.
I can't draw for shit, so... Not me.
You know it's daytime. You're going to get cut for that. But, yeah.
Sorry, I can't draw at all.
That's 7 words you're not supposed to say during daytime.
Sorry. Even my stick figure comes out looking goofy.
Somebody needs to draw my Pac-Man on my face. I'll find somebody. Because I got to have it. Okay. Anyway, people. Wait a minute. I think we got time for one more. You know what? No, Samsung. I am not reading this. I refuse Samsung. It's probably like 2 sentences long. I refuse. Thank you.
Come on. You know you want to.
Crap. I don't want to, but I have to. All right, people. Something new's going on at the Samsung. As soon as I can get it to load. Okay, so you have a new Samsung Galaxy S3. This thing looks like a brick. It has 4G LTE capabilities and will be available on Tuesday, July the 10th. And at least they gave us a price, starting at $199 for the 16 gigabyte model. But you'll have to sign a 2-year contract to get that that price. And it really looks like a brick. I kid you not. Why? Why Samsung?
A brick?
It looks like a brick.
Is it red?
It looks like a silver brick. I'd be not pleased with looking at it. Maybe it's, I don't know. It's just really thick. It looks really, yeah.
Not good? Not cute?
It's not cute at all. I don't look at it and say, ooh, I want it. I look at it and say, what the hell were you thinking, Samsung?
What the hell were you thinking? Yeah, see, if we do that, then it's not good. It's not good.
I don't know any other features. I don't know if I want it. It's just, yeah.
All right. So we got time for one more?
One more.
All right, I'll try to cut this one down because these people do go on forever. New endless mode invades orcs must die too. And I love these people because they're from Plano, Texas. Robot Entertainment Today, yeah, announced an exciting new endless game mode to challenge war mages in this summer's Orcs Must Die 2. In this new game mode, players will fight off an all-out assault from never-ending waves of enemies that get more difficult the longer they're held at bay. Playable in single player or endless mode, 5 campaign levels, 5 completely original levels, and countless hours of intense rift defending. Players begin each endless level with a starter allowance, and they'll rely on clever trap placement and expert combat skills to earn more trap money and hold back the mob as long as possible. Every 5 waves, a golden armored ogre, affectionately named Mr. Moneybags, will rumble through the level. Players who manage to kill Mr. Moneybags before he escapes the level will be handsomely rewarded with more money for traps. Endless mode features all of the same performance and bonus skull unlocks that are found in the campaign levels. This makes endless mode an exciting new option for players to earn precious skulls for upgrading their traps, spells, weapons, and guardians. Awesome. So Orcs Must 2 Die begins days after the ending of the original game. With the rift closed and the magical order dead, the war mage finds himself suddenly thrust into a new battle against a mindless orc mob. He has a powerful, if questionable, new companion in the sorcerer, an expert mage responsible for the destruction of the order. Orcs Must Die 2 will be available on Steam come July 30th, 2012. Awesome. Yay! And there's the little British lady.
And she made me hit the wrong button and everything. Crazy. She scared me. All right, guys. We are out of here. Well, we're not out of here until Monday. Keep an eye on our Twitter tomorrow, Facebook, everywhere else. You know where we frequent. And we'll be sharing with you our experiences at RTX. You say, why should we watch you and not everybody else? Because ours will be, for the most part, real time. And it'll be hot. Keep an eye on our Twitter, Facebook, as I said. We'll see you over the weekend. If there's anything you see somewhere else that you'd like for us to go check out, we don't care. You can see it in the background of somebody else's picture. Send us a text or tweet. We'll go over and check it out live, real time, baby.
Everybody know that face. Even with her head low, they still know that shape. When she come through the club, people take their place. Chicks throwing handcuffs, cause they knowing that they man ain't safe. Cause she the one switch.